should I be afraid? Stir up the love. Touch me with that love. Touch your heart. Yeah, that love, that gift, that's in your heart, the love of God in your heart, that touch. Amen?
Amen.
So I just want to mention, in addition to Queen Goddess Sharon Glover holding the high watch and vigil, so is our Queen Goddess Sister Teresa Dadel holding us in vigil, which meanwhile the service is taking place. They're in the drop down, holding all in high prayer, undergirding all that comes forth. So for now, prepare to receive the Reverend Gerald Smith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As always, it's a pleasure and a blessing to be here with you. I love it when people tell me they look forward to seeing me because I look forward to seeing you. The harvest is ripe. I thought about that for a little while, and here's what I came up with. The harvest is simply the manifestation of the spiritual seed planted in the subconscious mind. Now, those seeds, however, they are the ideas that you conceive, they are the words that you speak, and they are the actions that you take. And all of those things will yield a harvest in direct relationship to the degree that you recognize God, that you unify with the divine, and that you realize that all the power, all the love, and all the wisdom of God always has and always will be within you. Amen. That the spirit within, that's what turns our affirmative thoughts and our words of inspiration and our demonstrations of kindness and love into an abundant life. If our thoughts are opposite, then we'll experience the opposite. So instead of an abundant life, we may encounter a little despair. But Proverbs 10 and 16 says clearly that the labor of the righteous tends to life, and the harvest of the wicked to sin. You see, you can lose some of your spiritual vitality if you pick the wine before it's time. That's why the harvest has to be ripe. The harvest is ripe when the conscious mind and the superconscious mind, meaning that human mind and that Christ mind, harmoniously descend spiritual energy into your body. The harvest is ripe when we come to a greater understanding of how prayer brings the gifts of the Spirit. The harvest is ripe when we receive the gifts of the Spirit and we become baptized in the Holy Ghost. The harvest is ripe when we escape the darkness of Egypt and move into the light of the promised land. The harvest is ripe means that we are prepared to unfold our spiritual truth. When that harvest is ripe, we use our spiritual power for unselfish service in the vineyards of the Lord. You see, it's a spiritual movement embraced by all races, all creeds, and all religions. When the harvest is ripe, our ideas evolve from concept to our realities. We experience what the Bible calls the Pentecost. We experience the awakening of our spiritual truth. You see, the Pentecost is the realization that is realized, I should say, during the harvest of the first fruits. The Pentecost is realized only when the harvest is ripe. You see, during the Pentecost, we enter Galilee. We enter that part of our soul that becomes saturated with the energy of truth. During the Pentecost, we're filled with the Holy Spirit that begins us to unite with one another. I was listening to one of my mentors and someone that you all love, Reverend of mine, speak a few years ago. And he said something that resonates with me to this day. He said, sometimes the harvest requires a horizontal relationship with Spirit. Now, I understood him to say that day that we all need to be on one accord. That the rabbi, The priests, the imam, the preachers, and the practitioners must all pray as one. I'm going to read something to you that kind of substantiates what Brother Amon had to say as it pertains to the harvest. This comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, fifth verse through the eighth. It says, "Now they dwelt at Jerusalem, devout men and Jews from every nation under the heaven, all one consciousness. And as the sound took place, all the people gathered together, and they were confused because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed. They marveled, saying to one another, 'Behold, are not all these who speak Galileans?'" Behold, are they not all from the same place? You see, when the Pentecost was fulfilled, the Holy Spirit, the authority of the gospel of Jesus, went forth, speaking in various language, meaning there was a communication and understanding among all who would hear. The Bible says they dwelt in Jerusalem, means that there was peace among all the nations. And yes, they were amazed. They were amazed because the illuminated thoughts exalting from Christ was spoken in every language. But I got news for you today. The Christhood is not a religion. It's a conscious knowing that the harvest is ripe. All that separates us must be destroyed so that we can truly have a harvest for this world. You see, before we all restore our image and likeness that we were created, at harvest time, whatever we reflect in mind, that's what comes into our life. We sow a thought and we reap our own idea. Ernest Holmes puts it this way. He says, "The universe is a result of self-contemplation of God. Our lives are the result of our self-contemplation and propelled with the personification of our thoughts and ideas." You see, before the harvest can be ripe, we must all till our souls, our subconscious mind. We must free it from the worms of negativity and the pesticides of fear. You see, if you're holding on to that which doesn't serve you, your objective statement may be getting subjectively denied. What did you say, Reverend Gerald? If you got a whole bunch of junk in your trunk, if there's somebody that you have been wanting to, thinking about, but not yet forgiven, if there's some grudge that you're holding against Uncle So-and-so who may have done something wrong when you was little, if you're still mad because Mama and Daddy separated, you're 75 years old and you haven't gotten over it yet. If I could have only grown up with a father in my house. You got to get rid of all of that mess that you've been carrying with you all of your life, because if you carry that mess along with you, you can get down on your knees and pray. You can meditate all day long. You can speak every affirmative word that comes to your mouth, but if your soul is full of mess, mess is all you're going to get. You see, when the harvest is ripe, there's one perfect power that responds to the seed planted in a spiritually fertile soil. Then there will be a perfect feast of spiritual communion. There will be a harvest for the world. You see, in this harvest that we're talking about, it's not just about you. It's about all of humanity. You see, our harvest is simply our blessings realized. You see, this inner peace that comes from the realization of our union with Spirit, that's our harvest. It causes an outward manifestation of prosperity. It causes perfect health and harmonious relationships. It causes us to be blessed by the unconditional love of God. And as we're blessed by that love, our harvest demands that we share that same love with each and every person that comes into our midst. Amen. Yes, the collective consciousness all begins with you. You see, it's been mentioned a lot, and you can't turn on your television without hearing about all the fires, all the hurricanes, all the tornadoes, all the fools shooting out of windows, all of that stuff that's going on, and you look at it in awe, and you say, oh, I'm glad I ain't got nothing to do with that. But if you got somebody that you've been wanting to speak to and haven't spoke to them yet, there might be your neighbor, there might be somebody in your own immediate family, even somebody sitting in the walls of this church. You better get up from here right now, go over to them, put your arm around them, love them, tell them you forgive them, and speak to them every day going forward, because when we collectively embrace as one, all that mess will stop. But as long as you're holding something within you, don't get mad when you see it on TV. That was your sister that you ain't spoke to in 20 years. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just telling you what I believe to be the truth. You see, if we want all this calamity to stop, if we want this confusion to end, we must daily think, we must daily speak words of peace and prosperity and truth, not just about ourselves, but about everyone we see. You see, when the harvest is ripe, we must share our blessings. That's why I gave you that scripture from Deuteronomy 24, 18 and 19. Because it clearly tells us to remember that the Lord delivered you from bondage. You weren't always how you are today. You've gone through something to get where you are right now. Everybody in this building has gone through something to get in that chair. And some of us are going to go through something to get out of the chair. But you have been delivered from bondage. And it tells us to remember that you escaped Egypt. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap the harvest in your field and you look back and you see you forgot a few stalks of corn or there's still a few bushels of wheat laying out there on the line, don't go back and pick it up for yourself. Leave it for the stranger in need. Leave it for that fatherless child. Leave it for that widow who is lonely. And if you do that with all of your harvest, God will bless everything you touch. You see, in Matthew 7, Jesus gives us a bunch of rules to live by. But they aren't rules so much as the rules of the 613 Jewish laws. These are rules of the laws of nature. These are rules of the laws of the divine. These are things that happen no matter who does them, who says them, or who moves into that space. It works for everybody, no matter what you call yourself, no matter what religion you proclaim. What he tells us is, as it pertains to the harvest, and it's real simple, he says, the fruit you produce will reveal your character. So I know we dress up, we look up, we drive nice, but the fruit that you produce will reveal your character. Here's what Jesus had to say. You will know them by their fruits. Do they gather grapes from thorns or figs from thistles? So every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Neither can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree which does not bear good fruit will be cut down and cast into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will know them. It is not everyone who merely says to me, my Lord, my Lord, who will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Jesus tells us that if you harvest your grapes from thorns and your figs from thistles, you can't get life-giving sources from negative thoughts. That harvest solely depends on everything that we think. And then he says, if you think good, if you speak good, and if you act good, it's impossible to experience the opposite. He said negative thoughts can be cut down and cast into the fire. That negative expression can be cut off so it can be purified. Now, everyone here, including yours truly, every once in a while gets a morbid thought in his mind saying, oh, where did that come from? I'm thinking about something bad happening. But guess how long it takes to change your mind? 1 second. So when you do, and we human, when you have that thought, I'm going to get her told tomorrow. It only takes a second to change your mind and says, I'm going to tell her I love her tomorrow. He says that it's obvious whose mind is stayed on Jesus. All you have to do is pay attention to how they live and what they do. But here's the part I really like. He says, it's not enough to proclaim Jesus, but you got to do the will and the work of the Father. You see, right now as we speak in churches and synagogues and temples all over this United States and all over the world, Jesus is getting a whole lot of lip service. They're praising, they're singing, and they're dancing. They're telling everybody how much the Lord means to them and how much they love the Lord. But as soon as they exit the building, something changes. All of a sudden, that person should not have cut me off on the freeway. So what Jesus is telling us here is that the lip service is fine. We love to worship and praise and have fun. But the truth about you is how you act. The truth about you is how you live. That's why I tell people, I don't care what religion you belong to. Because your religion is how you live, not what you call yourself. You see, our reading from Ernest Holmes, I chose that because it reminds us that good thoughts produce a good harvest. And that evil thoughts are destroyed by the same fire that creates them. It says, if your life produces a good harvest, meaning you're a good person, by sharing it, you're going to get blessed. It says that your religion, as I just said, is how you live. You can't conceal your true self. Your actions, your words, and your gestures will always tell on you. The mirror of life reveals what you are, not who you are. You see, who you are is on your business card. When you put out your business card and hand them out, that tells people who you are. When you pull up in your Mercedes Benz, that tells people who you are. When you talk about all your degrees and everything that you've accomplished in life, that tells people who you are. Yes, but who you are ain't going to save you. Amen. What you are is what's important. And what tells people what you are, what tells people whether you've realized the perfect image and likeness of God in which you were created, what lets folks know that you know for a fact that love is the only power in the universe is how you distribute that love amongst all the other folk in the universe. So it's not who, it's all about what. And Jesus did a really good job of telling us how to become the what that we need to become. He told us in that same thing I shared with you the last time. They call it the be what? The Beatitudes. It's simply telling you what you need to do. He told you you needed to be humble. You don't need to have any arrogance, even though you do have it going on. And you all that in a bag of chips. Put the arrogance aside and you'll be into the kingdom of the Most High, the highest level of consciousness. He told you to be mournful. Help those who are less fortunate, because when you help those who are less fortunate, you become a comfort to all those in the universe. He told you to be meek because he wants you to keep your little actions under control. He don't want you to jump every time somebody gets in your face. So if you're meek, you're going to inherit the earth. You're going to inherit control over your physical environment. And then he said, just be just. Treat everybody fairly. Because if you treat everybody fairly, not only will they be satisfied, but you will be satisfied. And you must be merciful. You got to help others. The best thing about helping somebody else is every time you do, you're helping yourself. Be pure at heart. Be free of all negative influences. Because when you get rid of all that junk I was telling you about in your trunk, then you can truly see the God in you and the God in everybody else. Be a peacemaker. show love, unconditional love, because when you show love, that's when you prove your sonship with the Father. And when you do all of those things, somebody's not going to like you still. Somebody's going to persecute you. Somebody's going to talk about you. But if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed yet to follow Jesus, you will receive a reward. And that reward is your harvest. Then the harvest will be ripe. Jesus tells us that there's power in the word that we speak. He expresses that perfect word as a spiritual man. John 1 and 14 says, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. That word is how God makes himself known to everybody. That word is our thoughts and our actions. That word yields a consciousness that none of our consequences, I should say, that none of us can escape. You see, when the harvest is ripe, and only when the harvest is ripe, then there'll be a harvest for the world. If you're old as me, you remember when Ron Isley and his brothers cut a little tune about that. They asked the question, when will there be a harvest for the world? They told us that if we gather every man, if we gather every woman, if we celebrate our lives and give thanks for our children, then there will be a harvest for the world. What they told us is that we all come together as one people. When we all give thanks for our experiences, when we all appreciate the power of ideas, then there'll be a harvest for the world. He said all the babies have to come together. Everyone is a seed. Half of us are satisfied and half of us are still in need. When there is a harvest to be done for all the people, what he's telling us is that all thoughts are seeds. All are good and none of them are bad. Amen. He says love is bountiful in us, but sometimes it's tarnished by our greed. He says a nation is planted so concerned with gain at the seasons come and go, it greater grows the pain, and there's far too many feeling the strain. When will there be a harvest for the world? When we stop letting personal gain interfere with our unconditional love. The more time passes, then the less the suffering will be. We have to gather ourselves together. Every man and every woman. We have to celebrate life and we have to give thanks for our children. We have to gather everyone all together, overlooking none and hoping, let's get this world to be a better place, Ron Isley says. But I came to tell you to stop hoping. Change your mind and make yourself better. Then your world will get better. He says, get dressed up for the battle. When all we want is peace. Some of us get dressed up. We bristled up. We're ready for the fight. But all we truly want is peace. Those of us who pay the price, they're the ones that usually come up with the least. Nation after nation turning into beasts. When will there be a harvest for the world? When we stop listening to the narrative that divides us. Those on the front line stop getting the short end of the stick. And those beasts, those are the material gains that are controlling the politics of this world. When will there be a harvest for the world? When will the harvest be ripe? The harvest is ripe when we till the soul of our minds and that fertile energy of Christ enters in. The harvest is ripe when we remove all doubt and fear from our garden of faith. The harvest is ripe when we sow seeds of love, peace, and understanding, and forgiveness, and prosperity. The harvest will be ripe when you celebrate the Pentecost, when you lift up the nature of Jesus and reveal the best of yourself. The harvest is ripe when we move from an earthly experience to the promised land of a heavenly expression. The harvest is ripe when we will manifest our dreams, and our dreams will become our desires. Then, there'll be a harvest for the world. Then there'll be a harvest for you. Then and only then will there be one for you. Then and only then will there be one for you. Only when we accept and express the unconditional love of Christ will there be a harvest for me. Only then will there be a harvest for the world. Your harvest is ripe But in order for that harvest to reveal itself to you, you have to become the thing that you think about. God bless you.